Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Natural Remedies Encyclopedia when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs encompass the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. It's a foreign and alien ideology. Traditional American values are individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. These foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant. We're taught to covet our neighbor's property and call it income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures called Federal Reserve Notes. We practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods. We call them government agencies. And you know, we're not getting away with these crimes either. We pay up to 75% of everything that we create and produce in taxes. We live in mortgaged homes. They're owned by savings and loan companies. We drive cars that are owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. The average family of four in America has a $70,000 consumer debt. We owe a $7 trillion national debt. We're surety for another $44 trillion of unfunded government obligations, and our financial institutions are leveraged up to about $60 or $100 trillion worldwide in derivatives. Our Social Security retirement system is a chain letter Ponzi scheme, and we live from paycheck to paycheck, and then we're taught to call all of that prosperity. Well, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way of life in our Constitution. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life, why don't you call for my 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now and order yours. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, why don't you go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about a book here called The Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. It has 11,000 inexpensive home remedies, covers 730 diseases and disorders. I don't know what the price of it is. I haven't found that out yet. Maybe I'll find out and let you know tomorrow night. But you can order a copy of the book from the publisher, which is Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301. That's Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301. It's a reference book, like the doctor's physician's reference book that sits on the doctor's desk. Doctor needs to know what's wrong with you, so you tell him what the symptoms are. He looks it up in the desk reference, and he says, "Oh, you've got typhoid fever, cancer, muscular dystrophy, diabetes, or whatever it is." And 50% of the time, his diagnosis is incorrect. Half the time, he screws it up. We were talking about this Alzheimer's disease the other day, and I come to find out that Alzheimer's disease is oftentimes misdiagnosed. It should be Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease, but they diagnose it as Alzheimer's disease because the symptoms are so similar, but the diseases are as different as day and night. Different as day and night. Similar symptoms, very different causes of these diseases. One of them is treatable, and one of them is not. Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease, it's just put your head between your knees and kiss her goodbye. Well, that's what everybody tells you. I suspect that if you could mobilize your immune system, your body could probably recover from Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease, but so far, it's a fairly new disease, and so far, nobody's figured out how to do that. Not even the natural physicians. I imagine even the great Dr. Christopher might be stumped by Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease. Well, at least for a week or two. But let me take you through about 10 diseases here that are very commonly inquired of here at the law school. For instance, people want to know about warts, acne, and boils. Well, that's right. They'll call and they want to know about, what do I do to get rid of a boil? What do I do to get rid of warts? And what do I do to get rid of acne? These are three fairly simple diseases. They're not life-threatening. You get warts, you know, okay, so you get acne. Well, you know, everybody has a pimple or two, and, well, boils come up from time to time. But did you know that there's a cause for warts? And that if you knew what that cause was and avoided it, you wouldn't get a wart. Did you know that acne has a cause, and that if you avoided that cause, you wouldn't get it? Boils have a cause. We'll cover that. Cancer, that's a big one. Boy, people want to know about cancer. There's lung cancer, skin cancer, colon cancer. And it's a tough disease to kill, but on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, if I was going to rate these, I'd say Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease is a 10. That's always fatal, and we don't know what to do about it, to a wart, which is easy to cure and it's easy to prevent. Cancer is just about in the middle, about a number 5. It's easy to identify, and it's easy to cure. Kind of right in the middle. It takes some work. It's a hard disease to get over because it takes a lifestyle change. Not very many people can do it. And then the brown recluse spider. It's inquired of more often than tarantulas and black widows. People want to know, oh my God, if I get bit by a brown recluse spider, it's curtains for me. What do I do? Gulf War syndrome is another one. About 100,000 American servicemen that came back from the war in 1991 are now suffering from a syndrome called the Gulf War syndrome. What caused it? What do you do about it? Diabetes. It's a very common one. Diabetes is an epidemic. At least it is here in America. I mean, it is an epidemic. And we'll talk a little about that, and I'll show you how to prevent it. More importantly, how do you cure it? Because you people probably aren't going to change your lifestyle until you have to. Especially young people. See, young people have eternal life. No person who's 15 to 35 or 40 is going to change his lifestyle. Nobody changes their lifestyle until symptoms develop. When they have diabetes and they have an insulin dependency, now they're willing to talk about lifestyle change. When they have cancer, a big lump in their breast, or like one lady, her breast broke open and pus was oozing out of it. Now, that lady wanted a solution to her breast cancer. But up until that time, she doesn't want to make any changes and certainly doesn't want to prevent the cancer. She just wants to cure it after the cancer developed. Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease, we get asked quite often about that. It's actually the human variety of mad cow disease. Appendicitis comes in. Every once in a while, well, what would you do if you had an appendicitis attack and you were standing on top of a mountain in South America and you had no doctor? What would you do? Did you know there's a solution to that? You know, before people had surgery, they had appendicitis. Did you know? Appendicitis has been around for thousands of years. Now, of course, once your appendix ruptures, which is an acute appendicitis attack, then you'll die because you'll get peritonitis. But up until the time that it breaks, did you know that you can treat that appendix without surgery, reduce it, and cure it? I know it's kind of surprising. Most people think, boy, once you get an appendicitis attack, it's to the hospital and operation. That's because the medical profession treats it that way. But that isn't the way that it's always been treated, and that's not the way it has to be treated. SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. That's a tearjerker. I had a friend whose baby died. The baby died, 2 days after vaccination. Yeah, that's right. So we know what causes sudden infant death syndrome. And SIDS is a disease. It's a syndrome. It's we wouldn't call it a disease, but I guess we would call it a disorder. And it's a disorder that has to be prevented because, you know, once the baby dies, it's all over. Well, it's all over until the second resurrection, when that baby will be resurrected in the great white throne judgment described in Isaiah 65, Ezekiel 37, Revelation 20, and Matthew 12. I'll cover that as we progress along. But let's hit SIDS, number 10, SIDS, Sudden Infant Death Syndrome. Causes. The symptom is the infant suddenly dies. You go into the baby's room and there it is, dead. You know, I had five babies and I can't imagine the feeling that I would have if one of my five babies or children had died in infancy. But it happens in America, and it happens fairly regularly, and there's a cause for it, and it's called vaccination. And in Japan, what they did was they postponed vaccination until age 2, and the SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, just nosedived, just like the autism I told you about the other day. In California, they said no more vaccinations with mercury vaccines, and the autism rate has nosedived. And that's what happened in Japan. So if you believe in vaccinations, and you believe that you just have to vaccinate your child, if you would postpone the vaccination regimen from infancy to age 2 years old, you can virtually eliminate sudden infant death syndrome. Isn't that surprising? Now, that's not me. That's the Japanese. I didn't discover that. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to tell you that that's what they did, and that was the result they got. Now, if you believe in vaccination and you just have to have vaccinations and you believe that your child has to be vaccinated from age 2 months up, then you take the risk of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And it's a choice that you make. And when you make that choice, you'll have to live with the consequences. Sometimes the consequences are good. Sometimes the consequences are pretty poor. Well, there's no advance warning or symptom. And that's why it's called sudden infant death syndrome. There's no warning. It's sudden. Right now. It just happened. And the central nervous system is affected, which is in turn suppressed. And it suppresses the involuntary act of breathing. Every year in the United States, about 10,000 deaths occur, and it's called sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS. SIDS primarily occurs in the winter, and especially to underweight babies from poor families, and the mothers are generally under 20. Several possible causes have been traced. It has been reported that there are high levels of lead in the blood of infants who die of SIDS. Suffocation may be the cause, and it has been found that infants who were laid on their stomachs to go to sleep are much more likely to suddenly die than infants who are laid on their backs. Breastfed babies are less susceptible to SIDS than are bottle-fed or formula-fed babies. In addition, they have fewer allergies, fewer respiratory diseases, hypoglycemia, obesity, and gastroenteritis. Now, it's also known that SIDS can be caused by the pertussis vaccine, which is given to infants at 2, 4, and 6 months of age. The following quotation is from a book which can be purchased from the publisher of this encyclopedia. It says, quote, three research studies were made on the relationship that the pertussis vaccine had to death. Each one of those studies specifically examined the DPT vaccinations, and each found a decided relationship. In the Whaler case study control, the relative risk of the child having SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, within 3 days after immunization was 7.3%. Now, did you hear that? That's almost one child out of every 10 vaccinated with DPT, the diphtheria pertussis typhoid vaccine. It's a standard vaccination given to school children. The three studies were Baroff et al., 1983, reported in Pediatric Infectious Disease Journal, 1983, Volume 2, pages 7 through 11. Torch study, 1982, reported in Neurology, 1982, Volume 32, page A169. And the Whaler study, et al., 1987, reported in the American Journal of Public Health, 1987, Volume 77, pages 945 to 951. And it's reported in the Vaccination Crisis, pages 121 and 122. So let me give you the name and address again of this encyclopedia. And if you'd like to order that study, you can get it in the book called Vaccination Crisis. Vaccination Crisis. It's written by Vance Ferrell, F-E-R-R-E-L-L. And it's published by Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301. Again, that's Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, A-L-T-A-M-O-N-T, Tennessee, 37301. The book, again, is Vaccination Crisis. All right, now there are some natural remedies here. Give careful attention to each one of the above factors, and both the mother and child should receive nourishing food. If the infant is breastfed, then the mother's diet should be excellent. If the baby is bottle-fed, then if possible, you should use goat's milk. Mothers should nurse their babies, if at all possible, and then locate allergenic foods and then eliminate them. And the mother should avoid chemicals, drugs, and junk food during and after pregnancy. Even aspirin is not good. It interferes with blood clotting and could damage the fetus. Do not use caffeine, alcohol, or tobacco. They harm the unborn child, so it does not develop properly. So there you are. SIDS, S-I-D-S, sudden infant death syndrome. The best solution to SIDS is prevention. The Japanese study found that don't vaccinate children until they're 2 years old and you can virtually eliminate SIDS. Another big one over here is cancer. And the cancer, we get calls constantly. Let's take a look at page 613. Now, this is an encyclopedia. So you look up cancer and it's in the section from page 613 to 626. So we'll flip over there. Page 613. And cancer is a big, long article over here. I'm going to hit a couple of three high points on the cancer story. One of the things about cancer that I noted that was so surprising is that Dr. Hans Nieper and Dr. Dean Burke stated that by the time the tumor is present, by the time you've got this lump in your breast, ladies, this cancer has been around for years. By the time symptoms and pain develop that will send you to the doctor, you have had this cancer developing in your body for at least 1 year, probably two or three, and in some cases it can be up to 10 years. Cancer in your body right now. Now, here's another factor. You all have cancer. Abnormal cells are cancer cells, and these cancer cells are in your body being attacked by your white corpuscles and destroyed and eliminated from your body every day of your life, 365 days a year. So the idea that you are walking down the street and you opened your mouth, inhaled, and sucked in a cancer germ or virus or something is more fiction than real. Well, anyway, these two doctors, this is Dr. Hans Nieper and Dean Burke, stated that by the time the tumor is present, the patient's malignancy is already far advanced. And as noted earlier, a tumor is something of a strange parasite which has as little as 2% of the normal blood circulation. Listen, normal cells have a 100% usage of the blood circulation. Cancer cells only use 2% of your blood circulation, and they thrive. But what do they eat? Listen to this. cancer cells are living on sugar fermentation instead of oxygen as normal cells do. It's more like a plant or a fungus than a cell. Cancer cells live on sugar fermentation rather than blood supply. Oh, think of that. You know, you feed your cancer every time you drink a Coca-Cola, which has 9 teaspoons of sugar in every can. Unless, of course, you're drinking Jolt, which has double the caffeine and double the sugar. Now, it isn't that you can't eat sugar or that you can't drink a soda pop once in a while, but the problem with Americans is that we eat about 247 pounds of meat a year and about 244 pounds of sugar a year. Our sugar and protein diets give us cancer. And it's the sugar that feeds the cancer, and Americans are sugarholics. Americans are addicted to the drug sugar. We consume sugar in our foods. We consume sugar in our beverages. And alcohol turns to sugar in your system. And the only way to cure cancer that I know of that is successful 100% of the times is to change your lifestyle. So you're not going to change your lifestyle at age 19 to 40. That isn't going to happen. From 19 to 40, you have eternal life. So you're going to drink, chase wild women, and drink lots of soda pop. And you're going to eat lots of McDonald burgers, and you're going to consume a lot of sugar. Now, at some point in time, you're going to develop cancer. And when you develop this cancer, now is the time that you have to make this life-threatening decision. You have to decide, now, how do I want to deal with this cancer? If I go to the medical doctors with chemicals, cut, burn, and poisoned, my chances of survival are 37%. If I go the alternative health food route, my chances of survival are 100% if I can get off sugar and make this lifestyle change. Now, this is the tough part, boys and girls, because I have only seen a handful of people who could make this lifestyle change, but everybody that does, 100% of them survived. You got to give up the sugar, you got to give up the meat, you got to give up the booze and the Marlboros. Now, if you can do that, you can survive cancer. If you cannot do that, I don't know of anybody who has ever survived. Lance Armstrong, I'll take that back as one, who survived with cut, burn, poison that I know of. And remember that 37% statistically can do that. So it's a choice that you've got to make. You know, it's a one-third, survival rate on the cut, burn, and poison side. And over on the other side, the holistic side, there is a 100% survival rate if you can make the shift, but I've only known of a handful of people that could make it. Most of the reports that I make to you are people that can't make this change. All right, now that's the bad news. But here are the symptoms. The most common symptoms, there are 8 of them. 8 symptoms that you're looking for here to identify cancer. And the most common symptoms of cancer, any sore that does not heal on the skin, mouth or tongue or your lips. Any irregular or unusual bleeding or discharge from any body opening. A persistent change from normal in the action of bowels or bladder. Any persistent lump or thickening in breast or anywhere on your body. Hoarseness or nagging cough. Difficulty in swallowing. Persistent indigestion or loss of appetite, and especially if accompanied by weight loss, or a sudden or rapid change in the form, appearance, or rate of growth of a mole or wart, if it bleeds, or you have persistent fatigue. Now, to these basic 8 cancer signs listed above can be added 3 others, which are also important, which is any condition which does not respond to treatment, inflammation from blood clotting, and putrid intestinal gas. I mean, if your farts really stink, you may have colon cancer. Now, skin cancer, mouth or throat cancer, larynx, lung, breast, leukemia. You know, when we call this lung cancer, all we're saying, in effect, is that you've got cancer which is located in your lung. If you have cancer and it's on your finger, then you have skin cancer. If you have cancer located in your breast, we call it breast cancer. That's all you're really talking about. Question is, how do you want to deal with it? There's the holistic methodology, and then there is the allopathic methodology. Causes. Cancer is now the second most common killer in the United States and is steadily increasing. One in every three people will die from some form of cancer. One out of three people, when they die, are going to die from cancer. And over 1,400 Americans die every day with it. Now, you know, we talk about this war in Iraq, and every night on the news, there'll be a report tonight. You just mark my words. You just watch the news, and three Americans were killed today in a roadside bomb. One American was killed north of Baghdad today, and one British was killed in Basra, or some combination thereof. And we're really concerned about that. Now, so far over in Iraq, in 2 years, I think that there were 1,700 deaths. Am I right? 1,700? I think there's about 8,000 casualties, and about 2,000 of them are dead, round numbers. Hey, listen. 1,400 people die from cancer here in America every single day. But you don't hear of anybody getting on the news and showing pictures of cancer victims who die and saying, "Well, God, we just got to do something about cancer." It's because it's so endemic in society today that it's just a given. Just a given. Just around here in my local neighborhood, I could name for you five neighbors that have cancer right now. Five neighbors right around my neighborhood, right here in Isabella, Missouri, have cancer. There's only 541 people that live in this postal zone. The total population of Isabella, Missouri, 18.5 square miles, 541 people. I know five of them personally that have cancer. There's probably another 100 out there that have cancer, and they don't even know it. And it gets worse. Cancer cells are wild, irregular, and different from other body cells. They grow rapidly and they gradually invade and fill surrounding areas. They rob neighboring cells of nutrition, resulting in a gradual wasting away of the patient, and they can migrate to new locations and multiply wherever they go. There are abnormal growths and tumors. Cancer cells are classified by the organs that they initially invade: liver, breast, colon, lung, lip, and so on. Now, there are more than 100 different varieties of cancer that invade the liver, the breast, the colon, and the lung, etc. And each one of these varieties in its symptoms and how fast it spreads. Now, there are four main types of cancer. Carcinomas affect the skin, mucous membranes, glands, and other organs. Leukemias are blood cancers. Sarcomas affect muscles and connective tissue and bones. And lymphomas affect the lymphatic system. Early detection and treatment is vital. One person dies every 3 minutes from cancer. Dr. Otto Warburg, Nobel Prize winner, stated that more is known about the cause and prevention of cancer than any other disease. Did you get that? I want to repeat that. Dr. Otto Warburg, he's a Nobel Prize winner, he said, quote, "There is more known about the cause and prevention of cancer than most any other disease." Now, if that's the case, how come so many people are dying, 1,400 a day? Now, listen to this. Dr. Ronald Raven, he's the chairman of the Royal College of Surgeons in London. Here's what he said. 75% of all cancer can be prevented if we utilize the facts that we now possess. If you people out there listening to my voice right this minute, well, all you need to do is to buy this book. It's called the Encyclopedia of Natural Remedies, or Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. Turn to cancer, and the information that you need on cancer is right here, and if you follow that, you'll reduce your risk of cancer by 75%. That's what I do. See, I'm an old man. I haven't got many years left. I don't have time to dink around. I can't fool around and take chances. I can't smoke because I don't have enough years left or a body with enough energy to run that kind of risk. Now, when you're 19, yeah, you can smoke. Well, you can smoke until you get lung cancer. Then when you get lung cancer, you got to make a decision, boys and girls. And if you make the wrong decision, you're going to die from the cancer before you get to be 75. Now, at the 8th International Congress, Cancer Congress, Dr. Kavetsky said it is essential in the treatment of tumorous disease not only to act on the tumor, but to endeavor to strengthen the compensatory and defensive reaction of the entire system, particularly the immune system. So when a cancer becomes noticed, it's already far advanced, and by the time a person has reached that stage, it is important that he place himself under the care of a competent physician who understands and uses nutritional therapy. Not cut, burn, and poison, boys and girls, but nutritional therapy. However, he needs to understand for himself what is required and what he must do. There are situations in which a cancer victim has no one to help him, and he must carry out such a program entirely on his own. And when you go to a medical doctor and he tells you you got cancer and you say, good, I think I'll go treat this holistically, you're going to have a fight on your hands. I mean, he's going to call you everything but a white man. And maybe something even worse. So you need to know and understand cancer and what to do and what you're going to do before you get it, because one person out of every three is going to die of it. One person out of every two today, drawing breath, listening to my voice this moment, one out of two, 50%, look around your room there, one out of two, is going to contract cancer in your lifetime. By the year 2020, if the statistics continue on, if the mathematical trends continue, one person out of one person will contract cancer in his lifetime by the year 2020. That's 100%. It's a pretty serious disease. All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school. It's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, so we've covered SIDS, and we've covered cancer. That's number 4. Let me circle that one off. I'll tell you of a disease over here that's really scary. It's called Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease, or mad cow disease. So there's two articles here in the encyclopedia that cover these two. So let's flip over here to the CJS, page 483, first. Now, let me tell you about this Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease. The symptoms are balance problems and decreased coordination, progressing to paralysis, dementia, slurring of speech, and visual disturbances. Cause and prevention. Creutzfeldt-Jacobs disease, also known as CJD or Kuru, is a slow, progressive, fatal viral infection of the central nervous system. The incubation period may be 7 to 30 years, but death usually occurs within months of the onset of the symptoms. This is also called mad cow disease. Now, there are only 4 classes of people who contract Kuru. 4 classes of people. Let's see if you're in one of them. Number 1 is cannibals, particularly in the central New Guinea highlands. Well, you're probably not a cannibal. Number 2, those who submit to transplant surgery. Not very many people are having heart replacement surgery. Number 3, those who take raw hormones or glandulars. Well, that's not very many people either that are taking raw hormones or glandulars. But number 4, those who eat beef, pork, chicken, or fish. which has been fed regular animal feed, which contains dead, diseased animals, and or animal blood. That's just about all of us. Number four. Just about all of us eat beef, pork, chicken, or fish, which has been fed regular animal feed, which contains dead, diseased animals and or animal blood, known as bypass protein. Now, I have cattle and sheep. I also have chickens and fish. I have a pond. I do not feed any of my animals bypass protein. I have clean cows, clean sheep, clean chickens, and clean fish. Now, normal, ordinary, everyday garden variety farmers buy their feed from Purina or Tyndall Feeds or some feed company which incorporates bypass protein. What is bypass protein? Well, it's meat products that come from slaughterhouses or roadkill. For instance, when a cow is killed in a slaughterhouse, there are intestines, there's blood. 75 pounds of blood comes out of a cattle carcass. What do they do with those intestines, known as tripe or waste products, or the blood? What do they do with that? Well, they dry it, grind it up, and then put it in with wheat, corn, beans, and other feeds, and grind it up, and then they feed it back to the cows, the sheep, and the pigs. That's called bypass protein. Now, it makes cannibals out of our cattle. Cattle are ruminants. They're vegetarians. They do not eat meat. And when we feed them meat, we interfere with their digestive processes, and as a result of that, they get sick. And the sickness is called mad cow disease, and when it crosses over into humans, it's called Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. Now, it's actually pronounced Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. But if you're a person who eats beef, pork, chicken, or fish, and you get it out of the supermarket, you know you're running a very high risk. Now, I eat, but when I do, I'm very careful when I eat meat that I eat clean meat. Now, the Bible tells you what clean meat is. Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14 tells you what kind of meat to eat. Don't eat pork, it tells you. Don't eat shellfish. Don't eat shrimp and lobster and clams and crabs. But eat fish that have fins and scales. Now, what we're doing with our fish is we're raising fish in ponds and we're feeding them this bypass protein. Now, in many cases, you don't need to be too concerned about that, and I'm not too concerned about poultry, because poultry are carnivorous animals. They have a digestive system that is designed to digest meat. So do fish. Fish eat other fish. Fish eat meat. And I don't know of cases of Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease coming from poultry or fish. But it certainly does come from pork, sheep, and cattle. So beef, pork, and lamb should be clean animals that are raised without bypass protein. And if you don't know whether these animals are clean, don't eat them. If you don't know positively that the animal is, one, a clean animal and has been fed clean feed, don't eat it. Now, that's your best advice. And we'll see that as we progress along. Notice this, that on page 747, the problem is that livestock in America, Britain, and some other nations are regularly fed rations containing dead, diseased animals, thus causing the cows to become cannibals. We eat them, and the prions cause the kuru. They're passed on to us. The condition is frequently diagnosed as being Alzheimer's disease. So a good reading of the disorder on page 485 will provide you with additional symptoms. See also mad cow disease on page 747. For much more information, also see the author's book, International Meat Crisis, for extensive facts. Once contracted, there is no cure for this condition. No cure for this Jacob's Creutzfeldt disease, kind of like SIDS. You know, you have to prevent it. So if you're concerned about that, and of course if you're age 19 to 40, you're probably not concerned at all. And once you get to be age 40, you'll start thinking more about your health, and you may want to avoid that. So I'm going to go over here and read to you the article here on mad cow disease. It's on page 747. So let's flip over here to page 747. 737, 43, 45, here we go. Page 747, mad cow disease. The following information is adapted from the author's very popular 176-page book, International Meat Crisis. All right, so let me give you the author's publisher again. It's called the Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301. Again, that's Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, A-L-T-A-M-O-N-T, Tennessee, 37301. And the name of the book is International Meat Crisis. And he'll tell you about meats. Now, vegetarians don't eat meat at all. And so their logic behind this is, well, see, if you don't eat meat, you won't have this problem. God did not tell us not to eat meat. God told us not to eat unclean meat. So now we've gone a step further, and we've taken the clean animals, you know, cows and sheep, goats, and we have turned them into cannibals. Now, the Bible tells us very specifically not to eat fat and not to eat blood. And humans are meat eaters. We are carnivorous, and we are designed to eat meat, but not all meat, just some meat. So it's not the meat that's bad for you, boys and girls. It's bad meat that's bad for you. And bad meat is all animals that are unclean, such as, but not limited to, pigs. And fish, you know, such as lobsters called shellfish, or perhaps sharks, which are called skinfish. Skinfish we don't eat. They don't have scales. Turtles have scales, but they don't have fins. Snakes have scales, but they don't have fins. They have to have fins and scales to be clean. They have to have hooves and chew their cud in order to be clean animals, such as a cow. Camels chew their cud, but they don't have hooves. Rabbits chew their cud, but they don't have hooves. Pigs have hooves, but they don't chew their cud. So they have to chew their cud and have hooves. That's the biblical definition of a clean animal. Fairly simple. I didn't make it up. I'm just reporting. You'll see it in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. Now, the reason that we have mad cow disease is because we've turned our cattle into carnivores. We have turned them into cannibals. And that gives them this disease that we call mad cow disease. Here's what happens. It's now known that all diseases listed below are caused by people or animals eating diseased animals. Number one, kuru was once epidemic in a certain tribe in New Guinea because people had a tradition of eating their dead relatives. Gradually, this tribe developed CJD, described below, which they called kuru. Researchers from Britain and America in the early 1950s brought it to their laboratories where they could not figure out what it was because, incredibly, it is misfolded proteins called prions instead of bacteria or viruses. Their samples were tossed out. The disease gradually spread to animals. Number two, bovine spongiform encephalopathy called BSE, this is better known as mad cow disease. It is an infectious and incurable disease which affects the entire body while slowly attacking the brain and nervous system of cattle. Spongiform encephalopathy is Latin for sponge brains. Cattle, which should normally eat only grass, get this disease from eating feed pellets, which primarily consist of dead and often diseased cows, sheep, pigs, and horses. And like the Kuru people, they have been turned into cannibals. Livestock is fed this diet to hasten growth and increase profits for the meat packing industry. Number three, scrapie. is the form of BSE which is found in sheep. And when the dead animals are fed to cattle, BSE is transmitted from the sheep to the cattle. Infected sheep scrape their hides, sides, and heads on trees, fence posts, or even barbed wire. The sheep got this disease because they were fed not just grass, but pellets made from dead, diseased cows and sheep, so that they were also forced to become cannibals eating other sheep. Number four, spongiform encephalopathies is the name given to this type of disease in various animals and in man. We get it from eating meat from farm animals which have contracted BSE by being fed diseased animals. Now, in America, the last I heard, it's estimated that there are about 3 million people suffering from Alzheimer's disease. In a study, I believe it was at Columbia Medical School in New York, they went out and they autopsied Alzheimer's patients. And when they did an autopsy on these Alzheimer's patients, people who had been diagnosed as people with Alzheimer's disease, and then when they died, they did an autopsy, and they found that 12% of them actually had Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease. So let's just try that. I'll take my little Texas Instrument calculator here, and let's just plug in 3 million, and then let's go times 0.12, and that's 360,000. Now, in America today, there are 360,000 people, then, who have this Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease. Now, where did they get it? Okay, they got it from these diseased cows. Now, they tell us we don't have any mad cows in the United States. Mad cow disease is not in the United States. That's what we're told. Well, then where did these 360,000 people get it, boys and girls? Now, let's wake up and get real. In America, we have cattle in feedlots that fall over dead. And when they fall over dead, we take those cattle, scrape them up, haul them off to the rendering plant, cook them down, and feed them back to the cattle. It's kind of like a perverse form of that, what was that movie that they were feeding people back to feeding back to people? I forgot the name of it now, but you probably remember what I'm talking about there. They were taking people and grinding them up and feeding them back into their feed supply, and then the people found out that they were eating other people that had already died. Well, you know, makes all the sense in the world. No sense wasting that protein, and so that's what we've been doing. But it's a violation of natural law. And every time you break a law, there's a penalty. There's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. I think that movie was called Soylent Green. Soylent Green. And that's what we're doing with these cattle over here. Now, these are called Downer cows, and they call it Downer Cow Syndrome. In Great Britain, they call it Mad Cow Disease. In America, we call it Downer Cow Syndrome. You haven't heard of that. Chances are. But I'm a cattleman, and I'm here to tell you that's what that is. Now, the facts are that with the number of people that have Alzheimer's disease in America, statistically, when autopsied, they show up 12% of them don't have Alzheimer's disease. They have Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, however you want to pronounce it. That's serious business, boys and girls, and this author and these two doctors tell us a little something about that. They go on to say that Dr. Creutzfeldt and Jakob were researchers in Berlin who in the early 1920s gave their names to a strange disease, which was an extreme rarity until the researchers brought kuru samples to the Western world. By late 1994, a handful of people in Britain had died from the same disease, which by that time had been named Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. It's commonly known as CJD. This is the name in people for the mad cow disease. It is pronounced Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Although the disease existed as a rarity prior to the New Guinea research, it did not explode on the world until after kuru was investigated. Now, here in America, we began feeding bypass protein in 1943 during World War II. So from 1943 until 1997, it was legal to feed bypass protein. Now, beginning in 1997, it's against the law to feed cows back to cows. So what they do is they feed the cow offal from the slaughterhouses to pigs. Then they take the pig offal from the pig slaughterhouses and feed it to the cows. That's called science. I guess the reasoning is that if cow offal causes mad cow disease, feeding the cows pig offal won't. All right. Well, in this country, we don't call it mad cow disease. We call it Downer cow syndrome. So tuck it away in your hearts. When you go to Kroger's or Safeway and you buy a steak, it likely has been fed bypass protein, and it may have prions. It may give you Jacobs Creutzfeldt disease. Not necessarily that it will. Your immune system may be high and effective, and it may be a dynamite immune system. And besides that, you may be eating meat that isn't necessarily infected. But these researchers go on to say that Alzheimer's disease is a non-spongiform disease, and it is not at all related to BSE, CJD, or mad cow disease. But it figures strongly into the present discussion because there's clear evidence that many people dying in America and elsewhere from Creutzfeldt-Jacobs disease are being misdiagnosed as the victims of Alzheimer's. This is due to the fact that the symptoms of both diseases are practically identical prior to death. Now, whether you call it KURU or CJD, these patients first show symptoms of mental changes such as problems with coordination, recent memory loss, slurred speech, sometimes obvious twitching of muscles can be seen, and the facial expression becomes fixed, and the person may stumble and fall over. Over the next few weeks, the person becomes confused and unaware, unable to read or recognize even close relatives. The disease is very similar to Alzheimer's, and yet the cause is very different. Now, physicians at the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Pittsburgh autopsied 54 patients who died of dementia, and it was found that three had actually died of mad cow disease, CJD. Now, that's a shockingly high ratio. It means that large numbers of people in America are now dying each year from mad cow disease, which has been misdiagnosed as Alzheimer's disease. Now, take 3 divided by 54, 3 divided by 54, and that's 6%, one-half of the Columbia study. So what that tells us is that in veterans, it's half as high as the population in general, which is what the Columbia study tested, was just an average number of Alzheimer's patients, not necessarily just veterans. Well, since the 1970s, CJD has been able to hide behind Alzheimer's, which in recent decades has had an incredible rapid increase in cases. The truth is that many cases are mad cow disease caused by eating cattle, sheep, and pigs, all of which are routinely fed feed containing diseased animal blood and, contrary to directives, diseased animal parts. Alzheimer's is a genetic disease, and genetic diseases do not double and triple their rates. Yet Alzheimer's is doing just that. And all the while you're being told that there is no mad cow disease in America, but then your government lies to you quite regularly. The government lies to us over the statistics that the Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out in the CPI and in the PPI, the Consumer Price Index, the Producer Price Index. Those are lies. But, you know, that's the way life is. So get used to it. Now, especially here in the Western world, which is able to afford commercially raised meat, BSE will even more than AIDS eventually become the most prevalent, virulent disease to hit this planet since bubonic plague of the Middle Ages. And you can only avoid it by refusing to eat anything which contains meat. BSE is a long-term disease. Now, people generally die 7 to 35 years after contracting it. So, you know, it's got a long incubation period. Now, rendering or turning dead animals into animal feed is only legal in America. In all other countries, the cash for corpses practice is illegal. In the United States until 1997, it was fully legal. This firmly established BSE and scrapie in U.S. farm animals. Now, since 1997, it is still legal to put blood in the animal feed, and yet it is known that mad cow disease affects every part of the animal, even though symptoms most heavily affect the brain. Since 1997, news reports have disclosed that many meat producers are ignoring the ban and continuing to feed animal parts to U.S. cows, sheep, pigs, and chickens, and pond-raised fish. So if you're buying fish and you're a little concerned about this, buy wild fish. Buy the fish that comes from Alaska. Don't buy pond-raised fish. Now, as you may know, news reports tell of wild animals, especially elk and deer, which now have a variant of mad cow disease. It's called wasting disease, and hunters are known to have died from eating them. But you don't see that being reported in the mainstream press. Now, to give you an illustration around me here locally, some of the ranchers feed bypass protein to their range cows. Well, the deer come in and eat out of those range feeders, boys and girls. Deer aren't stupid. And they come in and they eat that feed. So around me here, I wouldn't eat one of these deer if you gave it to me. Time was, you know, when we didn't have any fear of eating the wild game. Today, it's a different ball game. You know, time was, we didn't have any fear of eating meat out at the Outback restaurant or etc. I don't go to those restaurants any longer. Their meat is not clean. Now, while beef is called clean meat, when you feed those cows bypass protein, you're just inviting disease. And this is a disease that everybody admits that we don't know what causes it and we don't know how to cure it. And that's not just the medical doctors, that's the naturopaths. So out of these 730 diseases over here, here's a disease that everybody has agreed, hey, we don't know what to do about this. So like SIDS, you have to avoid it or it's going to kill you. This isn't a disease that you get from wild living and then, oh well, no big deal, we'll just cure it. Cancer is one of those diseases. A brown recluse spider bite is one of those poisons. Diabetes is one of those diseases. You can get diabetes and you can cure it. It's not easy. It's tough. When we get to diabetes, I'll cover that one with you next time. You know, diabetes is an epidemic, and this diabetes is caused by sugar, excessive sugar consumption. The consumption in America of soda pop doubled over the past 20 years, and the level or the new cases of diabetes doubled right along with it. I predict that if we could double the consumption of soda pop over the next 20 years, we could double the production of diabetes. What about it? You want to get diabetes? Drink twice as much pop. Just double your pop consumption. All right, we're about out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. But let me give you a reminder as we sign off the air. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived. That means that you can go back and download this program from our website. Download it. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, I gotta go. Time's up. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.